Oh, gracious God, we are in the season of gratitude. I offer you thanks, God, for who you are. I offer you thanks, God, for your love. I offer you thanks, God, for your calling that you have on our lives to both love you and to love the world. God, I thank you that I have the gift of being part of a church that is not okay with people being hungry, and that responds to that call that you have on us, that's not okay if kids don't experience joy at Christmas. God, thank you. Thank you for that church. Thank you for these people and for the ways that this church is compelling this community to care about the community as well. So I pray, God, today as I talk about gratitude, as we celebrate you, that somehow, God, you might speak through me, that you would give us ears to hear what you want us to hear, that our minds might be open to understanding, that our hearts might be willing to be transformed. Come, Holy Spirit, do what you do and let me get out of the way. In Jesus' name, amen. So in the life of the church, there are a lot of Sundays that we celebrate, a lot of things that the church does, and we celebrate some of those and we don't celebrate others, and there's no intention in that. But I want to mention today, the church calls today Christ the King Sunday. And you may say, what does that mean? To celebrate Christ the King Sunday is to remember that Jesus Christ is Lord and to believe in the call that that has on our lives, to believe in the call that that has for us to think about people outside of ourselves, to care about the people that God cares about, to go after and to try to live a life like Christ. And I'm gonna hit on how we live a life like Christ today. But I think a big part of that for each of us begins with gratitude. We're in this season of Thanksgiving. It's a time to remember, and I'm so grateful for your words. I've had several people come up during this series, and it's funny. I thought about this series a long time ago, and when I did, I said, it's the 2 weeks before Thanksgiving. Let's do a gratitude series. And I'll be honest, I kind of threw it away. I rarely do that with series, but I kind of just threw it away. I think maybe more than ever, we need this series right now. I think maybe more than ever, we need to reorient the way we see things, the way we talk to people. I did something a few months ago, and it was about getting good stuff into your feed instead of all the bad stuff. And so many people emailed me and they said, hey, get on this email distribution list about good news, about good stories. And I want to tell you one of those stories that came across my feed at your recommendation. The story of this man named Ruben Pardo, and I mentioned it in my video this week, and I don't know if you looked it up, but he's in LA, and at least in 2016, when this story was written, he was one of the very last manual elevator operators in the U.S. So one of those things where you get in the elevator and you have no buttons to push. Somebody else is controlling it for you. And it's in one of these high-rise, like old Art Deco buildings that's filled with people who go into their loft offices, graphic designers, SEO people, people that Ruben knows nothing about what they do. But every morning, these folks step into this elevator and they get a little bit of Ruben, a little bit of life that comes from walking in there. There was one guy who said, he's been operating this elevator longer than I've been alive. He knows what he's doing, and more than the actual operations, he's a guy that knows how to bring people life. A little background on him, he was the son of a shop owner, born in Mexico, came to the U.S. when he was 7, and did all kinds of jobs to try to make ends meet. He would shovel driveways, he would paint garages, and he took on this job as an elevator operator. And he did this 6 days a week, rarely ever taking vacation. And on Sundays, he would take his wife out to dinner to celebrate her for being his wife and enduring all the things that he did. What's really interesting is they found out about this guy and they started interviewing some of the folks that go into the elevator. And there was one young guy who told a story about him, and he ended the story with this, and I thought it was so powerful. He talked about engaging him, and he said, it's like a glass of fresh water every morning. I don't know how he does it, but every day for him just seems to be a bright opportunity for something. Man, I don't know if he's still operating that elevator, but boy, do I want to be like him. Could you imagine if you engaged people and every time somebody engaged you, they say, ah, that felt like a glass of fresh water. Life, energy, refreshing, rather than a place that sucks the life out of you. Friends, I want to be more like Reuben and less like Tim. I want to be a glass of fresh water for people, not so that I get some notoriety. It's nothing to do with that. I want to be a glass of fresh water for people because I want their life to be filled with joy. I want people's lives to be transformed. I've been thinking a lot about this concept of gratitude, a lot about this idea of Thanksgiving and all the things that I'm grateful for. I think it is very easy for me, I won't speak for you, but to especially take the people that are closest to me for granted, the people that live in my house. So I've been specifically in this place where I've been really thankful for them. Thankful that they are gracious with me. Thankful that they're generous people. Thankful that they love people in the world. Thankful that they're inclusive of different friends and different folks out in the community. I'm just thankful for my family. And then I went to you guys. And I thought, you know, one of the things that gives me hope more than anything in the world is this church. You give me hope. You give me hope in a world that is struggling, in a world that is challenging, because a few weeks ago, very late in our season of Thanksgiving baskets, very late in our season, a school came to us and said, we actually need 120 this year. And we already had requests for about 180, which is about the max we've ever done. And the school said, we'll take however many you can do. And guess what? We're giving them every darn one of those Thanksgiving baskets. Every one of them. And you know what? Yes, it's exciting and we should clap. But in a season when people were worried about where they were going to get food from, you showed up. You as a church showed up. And I thought, you are some of the most hopeful people I have ever met in my life. And in a season that can feel dry, you bring me hope. So thank you for being that church that not only responds to the needs, but shares the hope. I am so incredibly grateful. And I wonder, have you had any moments in the last couple of weeks in this season of gratitude to just pause? Not just when you come to church and when we make you, but have you had a moment to just pause? To think about all that you're grateful for. To think about the gifts that are in your life, not just the people. To think about the faithfulness of God in your story. Have you placed, as Zach talked about earlier, an Ebenezer? Have you put a rock down, not literally, but figuratively, to be reminded of God's generosity in your life? Have you done that work? Because I will tell you, it is in doing that work that we are reminded of the faithfulness of God. It is in doing that work that we honor Christ as King in our lives, Christ as Lord. It's not some thing where we have to do certain things. It's the way we live our life, inspired by a God who deeply loves us and even deeply loves the world. When we were on our trip, we were having dinner with different people at different tables. And I was sitting down one night with somebody from our church, and she said, hey, I need to tell you something. I said, okay, go ahead. She says, I love it when you tell us that we're a gift. I'm like, what do you mean? She said, when you tell us, hey, you're a gift. And I said, I guess I'd never really thought about it. I say it because I believe it. And I thought, how many more times do I need to tell people they're a gift? What would happen to the mental health of our teenagers if every day someone told them they were a gift? What would happen to our children, not necessarily our biological children, but just the children that we have the opportunity to interact with, if every day they were told they were a gift? What would happen to your coworkers, even the grumpy ones, if every day you looked at them and you said, hey, you're a gift? They might go, what's going on? But isn't that cool? What if we started looking at the world the way that God looks at the world and said, hey, you're a gift. Every single one of you, how might it transform the way we engage the world? I want to give you a story where this sort of happened, and it's funny. It's from the Gospel according to Luke, chapter 17, and I realized when I was writing this sermon, I'm going through the text, and I said, I think I might have used this exact same text a year ago. I might have used the same story. And at first I went, oh, Tim. And then I said, oh, for goodness sakes, it's the Bible. We can read it again. But this story is such a beautiful picture of the transformation that happens with gratitude. I'm sharing it with you again. And if you're new, pretend like you've never heard it. And if you've been here before, really pretend like you've never heard it, because I think it's such a cool story. It says, on the way to Jerusalem, Jesus traveled along the border between Samaria and Galilee, and he entered a village. 10 men with skin diseases approached him, keeping their distance from him. They raised their voices and said, Jesus, Master, show us mercy. When Jesus saw them, he said, go show yourselves to the priest. As they left, they were cleansed. One of them, when he saw that he had been healed, returned and praised God with a loud voice. He fell on his face at Jesus' feet and thanked him. He was a Samaritan. That's an intentional point. Jesus replied, weren't 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? No one returned to praise God except this foreigner. Then Jesus said to him, get up and go. Your faith has healed you. I want you to think about this story for a moment. Jesus is traveling on the edge of no man's land. He's traveling between two places and two communities that would never intersect. One, because those did not like to interact with the Samaritans. They were dirty. They were off. And not only that, we've got these 10 men with skin diseases who are on the outside of society, who have been put out. Oh, for goodness sakes, we can't interact with them. They're on the verge. They have skin disease. They're out. They're seen as other. They're gross. And Jesus tells them, after they scream out to him, he says, go show yourselves to the priest. Now you may say, what's the big deal? Go show yourselves to the priest. Friends, they weren't allowed to do that 10 minutes ago. They weren't allowed to interact with the priest. And he doesn't say, go to church. It's not what he's saying. He's saying, you get to go be near the Holy of Holies. You get to go into the place because you're healed. He doesn't use that language, but they look down and all of a sudden they see the skin diseases are gone. They've been healed. It doesn't say it in that moment, but something changes. And you know it changes because one of the guys notices it and he comes running back to Jesus, this time not keeping his distance. See the difference? He comes running back and look at how Jesus responds again. I love this. Jesus replied, weren't 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? No one returned to praise God except this foreigner. Now, I've said it before, but here's where my judgmental side comes out. I'm like, what is wrong with them? What is their problem? They have been healed. Why in the world are they not praising God and jumping up and down? And then I started to think about it. Maybe they didn't fully realize it. Maybe they were so excited to get back to their family who they hadn't seen, they couldn't stand to wait. Maybe they couldn't believe that they were worthy of healing, or maybe they were so out of the practice of gratitude that they had forgotten how to do it. How often am I like the 9 others? These beautiful, miraculous things happen in my life, and I just write them off as a Tuesday. It's just another day. How often do I not come running back to give God gratitude and give God thanks because I almost don't even notice it because I'm out of the practice? And my judgmental side wants to focus on them and stay on this part of the story, but Jesus doesn't. He says it and moves on. I mean, could you imagine if Jesus gave this guy a 30-minute lecture about his friends? Now, come on. What's wrong with your friends? Why in the world? He doesn't do that. He says, hey, what happened to the other 9? Why aren't they here? And then He moves on with the guy. And I think my issue, the reason I want to harp on them, the reason I might say I'm judgmental about it, is because too often I find myself being like them. And I don't want to be like that guy. Too often I find myself not being grateful to people in my family for who they are. Too often I find myself not being grateful to God for who God is. Too often I find myself writing things off. And truthfully, if I'm being really honest, I see myself in their story. That's why I want to harp on it. That's why I want to stay with it. But I want to be more like the one, more like the foreigner, as he's called in the story. I want to come running back and to offer God gratitude regularly. So what do we learn from this story? What can we get from this story that helps us get there? Let's look at the end again. It says, then Jesus said to him, get up and go. Your faith has healed you. Well, that's a powerful phrase, isn't it? Your faith has healed you. Your faith has made you well. I think another way of saying this is gratitude has transformed you. Your gratitude to God has changed you. Your gratitude has made you different. It has made you well. Maybe Jesus knew, maybe, that gratitude was healing. Before scientists figured it out, maybe Jesus knew it. I mean, the truth is, Jesus had already healed them. This story tells you that. They already noticed before Jesus said anything the second time around that they were well. Before he said, your faith has made you well. The skin disease is gone. Why would Jesus say, your faith has healed you? I think Jesus knew that this moment for this man, when he came back and offered gratitude, was a life-changing moment. It was a transforming moment for him. When he came back and said, thank you, God, it changed him. It transformed him. Not only was he healed physically, he was healed emotionally, and he was healed spiritually. Something big happened in that moment that was transformative for that guy because he came back. His faith was going to transform the way that he lived his life. Gratitude transformed him. And that's what I want for each and every one of us. That's what I want for me. That's what I want for you. Another one of those nice stories that came across was titled Shackleton South and Psalm 116 Responding to Rescue. It's about a story that happened in August of 1914. There was this guy, Shackleton, and he had this desire to leave England and get on a boat and to on foot hike the entire continent of Antarctica. That's kind of a big, bold thing, right? On foot, he had 28 men that he was going with. They get in the boat, out in the water, the boat gets caught in these icebergs and it starts to sink. The boat's going down, 28 men on the boat. The boat was called the Endurance, by the way. Not so much, I think. But they're on this boat and it starts to sink and they have to get out on these rafts and they're out in the water for this really, really long time. It's one of the most harrowing survival stories of the 20th century. For months, they're floating on these things in the Southern Ocean. They finally get to an uninhabited island about 800 miles away from civilization. And they journey all of that space, treacherous sea and a lifeboat, to the South Georgia island. And finally, a 36-hour-long trek across the mountains and the glaciers of South Georgia to arrive at a whaling port. In all, it was 492 days, and not one person lost their life. Not one person lost their life. Now, where does this story come from? Shackleton wrote a book in 1919. It's a powerful thing where he records their scientific discoveries, where he tells the story of what happens. But you know what the majority of the book is about? Gratitude. He talks about how grateful he is for all of the people that helped save them. All of the people, I mean, 492 days, and they didn't even get to complete the mission, but he's grateful. 492 days. So we have these two stories, this story and then the story of the 10 men. What do we do with this? How do we become more grateful people to allow our lives to be more transformed? How do we affect the community around us? I think there's one big thing we have to do. We have to acknowledge with thanksgiving. We have to acknowledge with thanksgiving. We have to take the time to consider the people in our lives, the places, the experiences that have brought us life, that have brought us joy, that have gotten us to this place, that have made us who we are. Take a moment. Think about those things. It may mean reaching out to people in your life who have been a gift. Today, after worship, we're going to have a mashed potato bar, which should bring you a lot of joy. And some of you, while you're standing in the mashed potato bar line, I want you to send a text to somebody in your life and say, you're a gift. You bring me life. I want you to do that because somebody in your life needs to hear that today. Somebody needs to have that experience for you. It may mean you journal. Some of y'all need to get that journal out that you bought because it had a pretty cover and you wrote one page in. Come on, I've had several of those. The nice leather-bound ones. You need to get it out and you need to start writing in it. I know it's hard with a pen, pencil if you want to erase, but you need to write in that journal. You need to write down what you're grateful for. Why? Because if you practice it, you'll believe it. If you do it, it will transform you. But you need to make a list for the things and the people for whom you are grateful. There's such beauty in acknowledging what we're grateful for and offering thanksgiving. There's a reason that prayer is so transformative when we begin with thanksgiving. When I begin in prayer with God, I need, I want, I don't start from a place of thanksgiving and believe that God can actually do it. But when I start from a place of thanksgiving and gratitude, it transforms the rest of my prayer, the rest of the space. When we acknowledge our blessings, then we offer thanksgiving to God and to people. It brings us wholeness. It helps us experience this life aligned with God, this life of goodness that we can share with the world. When we can look at people and tell them they're a gift, we become a lot more like Reuben and a lot less like Tim. When we can look at people and tell them, oh my word, my life is better because you're a part of it, it lights people up. I wrote on somebody's wall one time on their birthday, because I really believe this, I'll write, happy birthday, the world is better because you're a part of it. You'd have thought I gave them a gold bar. It's so simple. But how many people go through life without anyone telling them they're a gift and the world is better? And listen, you may not feel that way about yourself right now. You may not feel you're a gift to somebody, and maybe you've spent the last 492 days just trying to survive. And I wonder this morning if what you want to do is simply give God thanks for surviving. Or perhaps you're one of those people and you're like, the last 492 days have been pretty great. Maybe you need to give God thanks for 492 great days. Or maybe you're one of those people in the middle where you're like, some have been bad, some have been good. Give God thanks. Because that is what will be transformative for each of us. I cannot tell you what a gift you are. I cannot tell you how much the God of the universe loves you. I cannot tell you how much your joy that you share with the world through legs on your prayers, through words of affirmation, through acts of kindness, absolutely tells people that they matter. And I believe it saves people's lives. So thank you. Thank you for being the church. Thank you for being who you are. Thank you for hope, and thank you for life. Let's pray. Oh, Christ. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for being a God of incredible, incredible life who comes to bring each one of us life. And let us be a reflection of your lordship to the world. Let us reflect Christ's kingship as an act of love. Let us be more like Reuben. Let us share joy. Let us share passion with the world, God. Thank you. Thank you from the bottom of my heart for every gift that's in this room and online, for the life that they live. In Jesus' name, amen.